as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you here this Saturday morning, May 7th, 2016. And we say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we got Brother Paul with us on the phone. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
From the, what do we say you're from, Paul? The Midwest? Do they call that the Midwest?
Well, Michigan, if you want to call it.
Michigan, okay.
Kind of a nice-rated nation.
When I was growing up, Michigan was the Northeast, but I think it's not that it's moved, it's just that's where it is, though, Michigan.
I think we're considered Midwest.
Midwest, there you go. But we welcome you, and thank you for joining us this morning, and we welcome you, the remnant. We know that there's those all over, from sea to shining sea and up in Canada, at least the parts that aren't burning, and all over the world that join us on shortwave and on the internet. We welcome you here this morning. And Jason, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll go from there.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray, Father, and we just pray that as we recognize that we're living in exciting times, Father, and we thank you for that, and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day, Father. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for this springtime, Father. What a blessed time of year it is, Father. And we pray, Father, that as we just continue to grow in your grace and knowledge, Father, that we just continue to be pleasing in your sight. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And we ask to be forgiven of any sins known and unknown, Father. We pray and just lift up our hands to you and say, here we are, Heavenly Father, use us. Use us in a mighty and powerful way, Father. And we pray, Father, for a new beginning and a new life, Father, and for us to have a different spirit, Father, as Joshua and Caleb had that different spirit about them that allowed them to see what others couldn't. We pray that you instill that upon us, Father, that you pour it out upon us, and that you allow us to have that different spirit, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And plenty going on out there, current event-wise, from the record fires up in Canada. We were talking about it right before the program. I think yesterday was up to 250,000 acres, and the reports are they're expecting it to double in size today to 500,000 acres. Now, it's taken it several days to get to 250,000, but they're talking about it doubling in a day. That's, of course, the biggest fire they've ever recorded in Canada, but that's a big fire. Completely wiped out the the town up there, Fort McMurray, I think, burned over 1,600 homes. Said they'd evacuated over 8,000 people by air. This is not just a little campfire out of control. So we see that to the north. If you've seen the news lately in the last several weeks, been earthquakes all along the Pacific Rim, from down in the Australia area up into the Polynesia and up into Japan and all around, and then up in the north, way up in the northwest of Canada and Alaska's had some rumblings. South America on the western coast has had some rumblings, and now, well, the reports, Mount St. Helens is rumbling again. Oh, there's no need. We don't see any type of real volcanic activity, but over the last couple months, they've detected hundreds of earthquakes in and around Mount St. Helens. So in the physical, things are looking, well, I'd say about normal for this, not this time of year, just how we are in society today. And then the people too. Jason, you mentioned something about what something going on over in London. They've elected a right-wing Christian mayor. Is that what it was?
No, that wasn't what it was. No,
didn't know if you had anything on that. I'd heard something.
That'd be big news if they did something like that. But no, London went ahead and elected a Muslim mayor here recently.
London has elected a Muslim mayor. Now, I don't know if that is that just normal. Does that just sound normal to you guys? Because that seems a little odd to me.
Well, things that are normal. It's hard to tell what normal is anymore. Everything has gotten so chaotic, and everything has flipped. And you know what normal would be to a normal person, but what is a normal person? I mean, that's a question that you got to ask yourself. And you, as you start looking around, what something would be sane? What's sane? What's insane? I mean, everything is so skewed in a chaotic world. I mean, when you've got these homosexuals and these transgenders, when they can go into the bathroom of their choosing, I'd say you're in a pretty insane world. Without going into much more detail there, I mean, it's what is sane and what is insane anymore?
Paul, how do you see things in Michigan?
Oh, just hunky-dory. We're isolated from everything. No, actually, a friend of mine had coffee the other morning. Was telling me his granddaughter was here talking to his wife, and she doesn't even want to go into the bathroom at this school just 6-7 miles down the road because of this thing, this transgender thing. Anybody can go into that bathroom, and so she doesn't hold it all day is what she's trying to do, but she just wants nothing to do with it. So it's really close. I mean, this is coming everywhere. It's close. I mean, you're not going to escape this thing. It all the stops have been pulled out. You take that mayor out. That's the first time I heard about it 2 minutes ago. And how do you know it wasn't a stacked election? That they're everywhere, and they could be that perverted. Who knows? England's always had a problem with a Jewish influence over there, as far as banking and everything. And then, so I don't know. What does that verse says? Go into your house and close your doors until this is over. I think that's relevant today. I think this ministry's done all it can to get the word out and to prevent it, but we haven't stopped it, so it's coming.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It's just everything is just changing so drastically. And trying to be, separate from the world as much as you can. That's becoming harder and harder, but we're having to do more and more of it all the time.
Yeah, you can't, you physically, I don't think you morally, a Christian could morally shop at Target anymore. And there's other places as well that stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty and identify themselves with the tares that are in the land, with the lawbreakers, with the sinners. There used to be a time that those type things would get called out. You know, it'd be, hey, listen, don't do that. That's wrong. That's, don't think those thoughts. Don't dress that way. Don't talk that way. And anymore, that's the oddball. That's the what the world calls insanity now. You try to point out sin, but yeah, you can't. I don't think you can morally shop at Target with them embracing the transgenders. And then you look at the public fool system. How the schools are, some more than others, school boards and whatnot. Opening up these bathrooms to these that are just in sin, and it's just an embracing where society just absolutely embraces this sin. And the thing that I've shared with a few local people here is what they don't see is that this is just a step of recruitment for the homosexual agenda community. They don't really have a community, but that's all this transgender is to get it more and more in your mind, so that as those evil thoughts, as Satan himself, when he goes about all throughout the world, here to and fro, I think it says, seeking whom he can devour, when he can put his thoughts out there into this generation of children in school that Hosea, I think 4:6 describes, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents have forgotten his law, so he has forgotten them, according to his word. And then they get these evil thoughts in. Well, sure, why not? Today I think I'm a girl. I'll go here. Well, tomorrow, today I think I'm a boy. I'll go here. And it's confusion. But it's just, instead of somebody saying, slapping them upside the head, busting them on the butt with a belt or a paddle, and saying, no, you don't do that. Because that's what God's going to do to them when they grow up. He's going to bust them hard. They're going to fall hard. As everyone does who just practices sin. There's a difference. There's a difference between, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's over here. But there's a big difference to those that just relish and accept and practice and promote this sin in the land. How can a Christian willfully send a 10-year-old daughter or a 10-year-old son to a public school system that is not going to protect them even in the bathroom? They can't even go to the bathroom with those of their own sex. Anyway, it does. It seems right. Pretty ridiculous.
Well, you're putting all this stuff out basically. Is you're putting it out as saying, okay, this is okay to do, when if people need to be taught that, hey, this is wrong and this is sin. That's what's really wrong. I mean, you don't have anybody crying out saying, hey, this is wrong. This last week I called quite a few different stores. I called the Target here in town, and I talked to the manager and I asked him flat out. I said, here's the deal. What's your stance and do you support this? And they said that I had to, with an assistant manager, and they put me on with the manager. And then then I talked to the manager and I said, here's the deal. I said, I just want you to know that, first of all, I will never be spending any money in your store again. I want you to know that. And I said, sick and it's perverted. And I said, I wanted to just call and tell you that. And it was something that needed to be done. And then I called she said, well, a lot of the other businesses have been doing this for a long time in this area. And she pointed at and said that Lowe's and Home Depot both had been. So I called him up and I asked to talk to the manager there, and I said, you know, here's the deal. I said, well, I want to know, you know, what's your policy on this? You know, can a man go into the women's restroom, and can a woman go into the women's restroom? And the guy wanted to know why, and I said, well, because I'm a Christian, and I want to know if I'm going to spend any money at your store. And the manager told me, nope, we don't allow that. He said that he really appreciated it. He said he had Christian values and, you know, was going to make sure that that didn't happen in his store. And, you know, the same thing that, and I heard the same story from several other businesses that that I talked to their managers. And, you know, when I talked to them, I told them, thank you. I appreciate you standing up for something and sticking up, because, I mean, basically, they, when it got down to it, you know, and that when they were confronted with it, they said, no, that's wrong. We're not going to allow it, you know. And, you know, I really tried to applaud them good for standing up and for having, you know, a good response to why they didn't want it. And, you know, those people, you know, the only time that they'll get prosecution is when somebody disagrees with them. But, you know, the people that are taking up and taking a stand, they need to be patted on the back once in a while, too.
Yes.
You know, that's something that people don't do. You know, they complain when they got a problem, but when somebody's doing a good work, they don't try to give them any hope. They don't try to give them any encouragement. They don't try to tell them that they're doing a good job. You know, they'll just tell them, they'll point out all their faults and everything wrong that they're doing. And I called some restaurants, and I talked to several people in town here, and, you know, there was one restaurant that I called and basically told me, you can go use either restroom, whatever you identify with. And, you know, I told them that it was sick and wrong in a big fat way and wouldn't be in there, wouldn't be bringing my family in there, and I was going to tell everybody else that I know that goes there that they're not to go there. And they said, oh, that's fine, you know, do what you got to do. And I said, I will. And but, you know, I mean, it's one of the things is we're living in those times, and it's getting harder and harder. Now, there's some stores that, you know, support and promote this death style and promote the homosexuality. And, you know, there's places that it's getting harder and harder to find stuff. You know, that's one thing that, you know, you've got to be aware of. I mean, in trying to find places, it's like, where can you get stuff, you know, and find, you know, where can you find tools? I mean, you know, it used to be Amazon was a great tool and, you know, parts supplier. And, you know, I mean, it's something that ain't real easy sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Starbucks is another one. I, you know, and we used to drink Starbucks, but I do my best not to drink it anymore. Don't buy it. Don't go to their stores. And, you know, you walk in the local grocery store and the coffee smells good. But no, because they are the same way. They openly and unashamedly, you know, promote and accept and they put it in your face. You know, it's one thing if something is done in secret and you don't know about it. That a company does, you know, a company, you don't know that they spend millions in, you know, promoting abortion or supporting Planned Parenthood. Well, if you know that, you should act accordingly. And it's up to you whether you're going to support that sin. But when you know it, and that's the difference, and that's what we're coming down to. We're coming down to an Elijah moment. You know, at the brook, what was it, Kidron, to where, you know, if Jesus Christ is Lord, folks, then serve him. And this is how you do it. Because he called sin, sin. And there's a lot that goes with that. If you're going to serve Baal, if you're going to just do whatever you want to do, and whoever you want to do, then you can do that. But you got to choose, and that time is is back upon us. Because the wrath is, well, I think, is fast coming upon us.
I think that's what's going on here exactly. God's putting in his face, you choose me or them. They think they got all kinds of power. I always think when God sits in the heavens and laughs, that's what we got to look at. There's an out to this, and we're going to be made to choose what side we're on. And it's getting clearer and clearer. You know, the Bible says judgment will start first in the house of the Lord. And this, these people are the most sick people in the world. They don't even know what sin is. How could they be? They're just indifferent to it.
Yeah.
They're, you know, the Laodicean church, they're indifferent. Oh, that's a sign of the times, you know. Like, may go on about their life, you know. But it's coming down. You're going to have to choose what side you're on. And, you know, the way things are, this identity stuff, that if it's set up for the mark of the beast, because, you know, because everything is going into a state of chaos. They want to make you have a mark so you can go through a scanner. And I believe that's what it's coming to real fast. I'm not sure, but more than likely from what I see, it's just because of the everything. There's nothing stable.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. You know, there's no privacy. There's no nothing. So they're intrusive. They know more about me than I know about me. I forgot half what I did. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. And the God of the Bible that you serve, because you've repented of half those things you've done, or most of them, he's forgot about them too.
But you know, that's an absolute biblical truth. You want to drag him with you. I always say it like this. You want to swim the English Channel, you better drop your luggage. You know, and that's a lot of this sin we drag with us, feel guilty. When God said it's finished, it's finished.
Right.
And this is coming down to who's going to be king. And I know who wins, and not many get it. And just about everybody we know is unprepared. I mean, outside of our little fellowship we have, but I mean, just about they're unprepared to resist it. But then again, there's a little bright light shines every once in a while. There's a school system down in Florida said that whatever your birth certificate says, what you are.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's and I mean, there's rays of hope. There is salt out there yet.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, sometimes we got to be tested to bring it out of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are. You're right. I really enjoy seeing those rays of light. You know, people send them in to put on the news wire, and we get emails on them. There was a school board down in Florida that just said, nope, according to your birth certificate, use that restroom. Simple as that. And that was it.
Right.
There was a sheriff down there in Polk County, Florida. Sheriff Grady Judd said the same thing. You know, he says, when we book them in jail, we book them according to how they were born. If they were born, you know, male, they go in the male jail. If they were born female, they go in the female jail. Doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter how they dress. And that was it. End of story. And so there is some, rays of or points of sanity out there that come up every now and then. It's good to see the entire world's not completely insane.
You know, don't forget that, you know, Jesus fed his our forefathers manna in the desert when the Red Sea situation, and I believe we're in a very similar situation. You're just going to have to, you're going to find out if you got faith or not. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to believe it, so.
That's true. That's true. Amen. And it is, choose you this day. You know, and we're seeing it. I think I told a story, neighbor has a daughter that was dating a young man, and he made the mention, well, here, let me run in Target and grab something. And she said, I don't shop at Target because there are perverts there. They allow perverts, and they push and promote sin. And the guy was like, well, what do you mean? And she told him, and he said, well, it doesn't matter to me. That's, you know, they ain't going to bother me none. And that broke off the relationship. She chose, no, I'm not going to hang out with this guy that doesn't care about those type things. And so there are those rays of hope. You see little things and it's like, thank you, Lord. You know, I think he still sends signs that we're not alone out there. You know, he has his 7,000 that don't bow their knee to Baal, that make the right choice. And you know, they are all over. I was reading this morning in the Bible, see if I can find it here, about, it's 2 Kings 5, and it talks about Naaman the leper that's healed. And I think we're all familiar with that story, pastors. done a couple of messages on it, and I know the this message is near and dear to my heart. He gave it at the Rocky Mountain Summer Camp in 2002, and I think as a result, God called my mom and dad and my brother-in-law to baptism through that message. You know, it's a thing of humility, and so he was healed. And but one part of it, and that I did not recall in reading through it, and I think that's one of the important things about reading your Bible, is, you know, it's 66 books. There's a lot here. It's all for our learning. It's all for our reproof and rebuke and education and you know, teaching us what's right and wrong. But just after this, you know, so verse 1 through 14, he's healed. And, you know, but then he goes on, and in verse 17, Naaman says, you know, Elisha doesn't want anything from him. So in 17, Naaman said, "If not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant," and he's talking about Naaman, "when my master goes into the house of Rimmon," that was a false god, "in the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." And Elisha said to him, "Go in peace." And so, you know, not only was Naaman healed physically, he was converted. And I don't know that I ever recalled reading that or understanding that. Let me put it that way. But he was converted. Today we'd call it he was converted to Christianity. Now, he still had his position. He didn't quit. You know, he was, as it said, he was captain of the army, a great man, highly respected, a valiant warrior. He didn't quit everything he was doing. But guess what? When the king of Aram went in his chamber of chambers, this new Christian was with him. And our pastor pointed that out in some messages. One comes to mind is a message to the man's men. Or something like that. And, you know, God has his people, because after this happened, after God healed Naaman and then he was converted, God called him and he heard the call and he was converted. And again, granted, this is Old Testament. He said, I still got my position, and so may the Lord pardon me when I go in. I'm not worshiping this false god like my king over here does. And it looks like a lot, you know, that Elisha agreed with that. Yep, go in peace.
Well, I think that's profound, because, you know, this self-righteousness, well, I ain't going to go, I'm not, you know, you isolate yourself. I don't do that stuff either. But I'm telling you, when you're dealing with people that don't know, you can really turn them off by doing that. And you can talk to people at their level and stuff like that without making such a big issue out of it, because I've done it before in the past, and I don't do that as much. You just keep feeding them truth, and either they take it or they don't. But that's one of the things that in my life is getting over that self-righteousness. You know, you first learn this story, you get arrogant, you think you know more than everyone, you think everybody wants to know, and then you go through this humbling process, which is most of your life.
Yeah, you got that right.
Amen.
But you're never done, you know what I mean? But my point is, once I gave a message down there, Bronson, feed my sheep, and that's, you've got to be sensitive to what these people are in. They have no clue where you're coming from.
Right. They don't know.
Naaman had that conversion. They had that conversion, and I think that's what we have to learn. I think that's been on John's heart, too, in the last year, is that we got to be just a little more sensitive to the people around us rather than having this arrogant, self-righteous attitude. And we can be in the world, but not of it.
Yes.
We don't have to go down with it.
Agreed. And I think that's what Jesus did. you know, and that's what made the religious rulers of the day. One of the things that outraged them is because he went and, you know, he went and ate with tax collectors and with sinners, and you know he allowed prostitutes to come in and but you know when they did, the one story talks about how the one woman who had sinned much came in and she washed his feet with her tears and with her hair. You know, she knew who he was, and she knew she had sinned greatly, and she worshiped him. And you know, I think she was converted right then and there. And anyway, it that outraged him because, oh, who are you to go with? You know, he eats with sinners. He hangs out with this, with these, the wrong crowd. And, that's who he came to. That's who he came to, because that's who we were before Christ. We were the wrong crowd. We were the sinners. We were the dregs of society, whether society recognized it or not, whether we recognized it or not. We were lost. We were blind. We were naked. We were wretched. We were poor before Christ. No matter what we thought, you know, whether we lived in a nice big fancy house and drove a new vehicle or not, that's how we were. That's how his people are. Because that's how we are apart from him.
Well, and that's what people need to realize too, is, you know, when without the blood, yes, of Jesus Christ, they are nothing.
Amen.
In the story, period.
Amen.
And the only thing that sets us apart or makes us different or gives us any hope is that blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life, that it's applied through baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, apart from that, it ain't going to do you nothing. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care what you did. It don't really matter.
Yep.
Well, it's all about humility, you know, and knowing the depth of your own sin, you know, our original sin, or if you, you know, and somewhere in the Bible it says those who sin more appreciate it more, but it's still all the blood of Jesus Christ, because, you know, David, he actually, he did some awful, terrible things in the book. You know, he took another man's wife, and he murdered a man's what he did, and he still made the faith, and that was that humility that got him into it. He confessed his sins, you know, and Jesus don't see that when you do that, and that's what he's looking for, is a humble, contrite man that will not be something that he ain't.
Yes.
So...
The story of Naaman the leper highlights that, you know. He was, when Naaman the leper was told what to do to be healed, you know, and Elisha didn't even come out to him. He just sent a messenger. He sent his little, you know, his cabin boy, so to speak. He says, go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be clean. He says, but Naaman was furious and went away. You know, he was furious. What? Are you kidding me? You know, aren't these other rivers just as good? Here I came, you know, I expected him to do all this big to do. Because I'm who I am. And if he would have stayed with that train of thought, he'd have never got healed. He never would have. But, you know, he had wise servants, and he listened to his servants. You know, when they come and address him as father. You know, if the prophet told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when he says, just wash? You know, then the faith comes in, but the humility, like you said, Paul, the humbleness, humility before God. And you know, Naaman was a big guy in the world. You know, I mean, he was the Hercules from mythology. He was the general, so to speak. And it was probably a hard thing for him to humble himself, but he did. And when he did, you know, I think God was calling him, and he answered.
Well, the Bible says, if by your own word you'll be condemned. Now, if you go up and stand before the, you can tell them all that you did, you're a dead man right from the word go. If you go up and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, he understands your humility, because then you understand how important you are, and that's about zero.
Yeah.
So,
Yep. Yep. Jason, I think you said it one time about, you know, God, or maybe it was Peter. Forgive me. I don't mean to. I have mixed things up in the past before, but something to the effect that God doesn't need us to get this message to the world, but he wants us. You know, he doesn't need us, but he wants us to give him our heart. He wants us to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul. He wants us to be able to say as Christ, not my will, Lord, but thy will. He wants us to say, here's your servant, Lord, what would you have me do? Here I am, send me. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to do that. Does that make sense?
It's a whole lot better to be wanted than needed.
That's for sure. Yeah, and that's what so many of these people, they just got it made up in their mind that God needs them and that God needs to do this and that. And I mean, there's people that have done things that are just way too, I mean, their timing's not right. I mean, you know, and everybody wants to talk about, you know, the war this, war that, you know, I mean, when was the last time that we actually had a war where the trumpet was blown by the priests, you know, like the scripture says needs to be done. I mean, there's different protocols and there's things that have to be put in place just to be at the right time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody wants to jump the gun on so many things. And, you know, I mean, there's things that, you know, you even being a Christian soldier, you don't take action without being, without a lot of prayer and petition, you know, and people, they think they know better than God is what it boils down to.
Well, yeah, you think you're in control, and that's when you go wrong, you know, because you're not going to convert anybody. All you can do is lead that horse to water, his choice, and that humility, like Naaman and everybody else, David and you and I and everything, is the humility. And I've always said it like this: anybody will jump in the lake on a hot day, very few will get baptized, because that takes humility. You got to tell the whole world you're a sinner. That ain't fun.
Yeah. You're right.
That it's like a relief. It's just like a huge burden comes off your back. It's just amazing.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, on that train of thought, Paul, we have Branson coming up just a little over a month away. And I know of at least a husband and wife that are making a big trip, wanting to come to Branson for the first time to be baptized. And I've spoken with him a couple times on the phone, and he's been listening, and he said, you know, just the conviction's upon us. We both agreed we want to come do this. And they're coming from way up in the Northeast, flying in. And, you know, we talked to him, and they observed the Passover. That was one of the teachings as well that we've learned from was, you know, even if you plan on being, the Passover is that important. If you plan on being baptized, you observe the Passover. And so, you know, I know for them they did, and they're coming to get baptized. And I know for sure of two, thinking that there's probably at least two more in people that I've talked to. And, you know, that's, it is. It's a humbling thing. It's a yielding to God. It's just saying, you know, okay, Lord, I again, not my will, but yours. This is what your word says. And it says it throughout the scriptures that, yes, you must be born again. Yes, you do have to believe. You know, belief is a huge part of it, you know. In the story of Naaman, he humbled himself because why? Because he believed. He didn't just believe. He didn't just say, well, you know, okay, so, you know, you tell me what I got to do. Okay, you got to go wash. Well, he was mad at first. And it took a while for him to kind of come around to the right way of thinking. But finally, when he humbled himself, well, then he believed. And then he acted. then he did. Then he became a doer and not just a hearer, not just a believer. And you got to be more than just a believer, folks. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. You have to believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died a bloody death to save a wretch like me and a wretch like you. You have to believe that. But then you have to do what it says. You do have to believe, but then you have to repent. You have to recognize that sin in your life, and then you have to repent, and then you have to be baptized by full immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And then there's many scriptures that step right in there. Then we are, you know, when we are baptized with Christ, we are clothed with Christ. When we share in his death, then we get to share in the glory of his resurrection. You know, when the old man dies, we are a new creation. And its flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so that flesh and blood man has to die. And the spiritual man has to be born. And saying the sinner's prayer doesn't cut it. Simple as that. You can't see that in the Bible. You know, you see all who believe, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yeah, but it says more than that as well. And so you can't rest on any one scripture. All the scriptures given to us. And, you know, our pastor stood on that, and we continue to stand on that because that is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have churches on every corner today, and we have more sin in the land than we've ever had. It's because the people don't stand on that.
That's right. It's too simple.
Yep. I know a conversation I had late last year via email with somebody that sent in a real nasty email. Oh, I read your booklet, How to Become a Christian, and you think baptism does it? No way. So what you're saying is that my grandma and grandpa, who weren't baptized, who are the best Christian people there's ever been, that they're burning in hell right now. And we haven't said that at all. But see, Naaman, let's read what it said. But Naaman was furious. He was furious. And that's how a lot of our people get. You introduce a truth to them, they get furious. They put words in your mouth, change things, and they get, like Naaman was, furious about this. Well, you know, maybe, you know, what about Naaman's dad? Leprosy is that a genetic thing, Jason? Doesn't that a lot of times follow families? Or is it just a virus or something that hits who it will? Do you know?
What?
The leprosy.
Yeah, it's like a virus. It hits whoever.
I know that, you know, toward the end here, with Gehazi, that was Elisha's servant, you know, he goes and sins and covets, and so Elisha says, therefore the leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and your descendants forever. But, you know, so who knows, maybe, you know, was Naaman's dad a leper? You know, Naaman doesn't go back on to dad and grandma and grandpa and all that, because this was for Naaman. You know, this was for Naaman. And so, you know, Naaman's dad, Naaman's brother, the other lepers, that was between them and God. This was for Naaman. You know, and I think it's for us today an example and a command, and that's what it's for. Anyway, got a text from our brother Ralph. He says, remember, baptism is a command for the living, not the dead. And that's true. That is true. We touch we are able to connect with that blood of Christ and his living water.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, that's why, you know, as we look around, I mean, we're seeing so many different things that, you know, that haven't happened. And, you know, I mean, I think that what it boils down to is one of the things that, you know, we've got to get is we've got to get people to humble themselves. And I think that, you know, I know there's a lot of people been out there praying for this solemn assembly that we're coming up on. And, you know, I think it's crucial. And, you know, as I've talked to some of the people that have been trying to get some stuff ready for you know, the gathering out there, and, you know, everybody has the same conclusion, is that Satan doesn't want this to happen. It seems like there's just been attack after attack.
Yes.
On people that are just trying to get stuff ready, trying to make the time, trying to get the funds gathered to be able to get there. And if Satan doesn't want his people, or he doesn't want God's people, humbling themselves and crying out to God. And, you know, basically that's what we're going to be doing. I mean, and that's the most important thing that a person can do, is humble themselves and cry out to God for deliverance. I mean, save us from the hands of our enemies and those that hate us.
Yes.
It's not going to be by strength. It's not going to be by might. It's going to be by His Spirit. And we've got a lot of spirits that need to be broken so that they can come back in contact with the Spirit of the Heavenly Father. They've been hardened by sin. They've been hardened by the world. They've been hardened by pride, by anger, by unforgiveness. I mean, you know, the list can go on and on and on and on and on. We don't know what it is, but, you know, that's when we gather in Branson this year, that's one of the things that we're going to be trying to do, and that's what we'll be doing. And that, Lord willing, that's what we're going to accomplish, is getting down and breaking down and crying out to God and humbling ourselves. And, you know, humbling yourselves, there's a lot of things that people would rather face death than humble themselves. That's just how prideful and how arrogant some people out there are.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and I just encourage people that are going to be attending, you know, start working on it now. Now is the time to do that prep work in your life and start identifying what doesn't need to be there, what you need to be working on, you know, and getting your heart and mind in that proper area that it needs to be. And, you know, don't be stubborn,
absolutely.
There's a lot of things, each person has their own things that they're working on. But when we can humble ourselves and seek His face and cry out to God, He will hear our prayers. I believe that He will. I know He will. And we've got to have that different spirit that Scripture talks about, that Joshua and Caleb have when they looked at that promised land. They saw what the others didn't see. The others came back with stories of fear and trembling and go around and leave. And I mean, they said, let's go in and take it. This land is ours. It's the land flowing with milk and honey.
Yes.
Now we're living in the land of milk and honey. It's here. We're here, and it has been given to us time and time again. But now, you know, I think that it's time that we need to take possession of it, and not fear our enemies. I mean, so many people. It's these fear tactics of the world, and you know, you gotta smile at the future and look to the unseen and
absolutely
recognize, you know, things are going to change. I believe that I'm going to see the change. I believe that my children are going to have a better world to live in than the one that I grew up in.
Amen. Psalms 91:5, you will not be afraid. And that's enough to read. Psalms 91:5, you will not be afraid. And why be afraid when you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you? Well, guys, we've got about 10 minutes left, and the phone's starting to ring. Let's take a gander here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, man. This is Willis. Good to hear all you fellas on the radio this morning.
Good morning, Willis.
Hey, I just thought I'd call in and wish you guys a blessed weekend and enjoying the topic. I'm amazed still at how the Spirit moves. You know, the last couple of weeks, that being humble and humility has really been working on my mind as far as Branson goes, and how important that is for everybody that's there, realizing that, you know, as Pastor Peters put out a message years back, that separate and away from Christ, we're nothing. And even standing alone, we're nothing. But collectively, under Christ, being humble, you know, even with the gifts of the Spirit, without Christ and being humble and having that spirit of humility, we're still nothing. And it's through Him that we're able to do anything at all. And I was thinking about, you know, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Moses, or I'm sorry, not Moses, but Abram, said, "Lord, if there be 50 righteous, would you still destroy the city?" And he got down to 10. And God said, you know, "For 10, I'll save the city." But he couldn't find 10, so he took Lot and his family out. But we're kind of in the same place here in this country now. I'm kind of thinking about it, and it seems like if it wasn't for that remnant that scattered around right now, this country would be destroyed as it is. Part of that gospel message, getting out there, trying to get that message out to more people, is more important than ever. And that was about all I had to say. And I want you guys to have a great weekend.
You too, Willis. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right. God bless. I think Willis hits it right on the nail on the head. You know, Willis is a praying man, and when you pray and you ask, like you said, Jason, you ask for God to show you, He will. He will. The Bible says, "Seek and you will find." And if you pray, God will let you know, "Hey, listen here, son. This is what you need to fix in your life." You know, He'll tell you that. Now, it's up to you to do that or not, but He will. And the more you humble yourself, the more you go to God, the more He will show you. You know, that's one of the reasons that this ministry that John has called for, you know, really, it's been about 100 days. It'll be about 100 days of prayer and fasting leading up to this Branson Conference, this solemn assembly. And just like Willis said, when you know, he's hearing from the Lord. And so when you go to the Lord with a humble heart, with a true heart, in sincerity, in humility, He hears. When you confess your sin, you know, your sin is the only thing that can separate you from God hearing your prayers. Sin is the only thing. But when you confess those, then guess what? There's nothing that comes between you, your prayers, and God. But it takes that humility to do that. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it in the remnant.
I don't think that we understand the power that we have in Jesus Christ. If God be for you, who can be against you? And I don't think we have just an inkling of what it's about. You know, but it's coming. You know, and I personally think that this ministry does have the gifts. I think we just got to cultivate them. I don't think anybody from the outside can give it to us. And it's coming. It's definitely coming.
Amen.
And there will be survivors.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, that's almost an hour. Time flies.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Time flies. Yep. Well, we, Paul, we sure appreciate you joining us. I know you'll join us for church tomorrow. We want to put that invitation out to the others that might be tuning in. And we'll do that. And we can invite you to church tomorrow. If you're going to be in La Porte, hey, give us a call. Let us know if you're going to physically stop by. And, you know, we have guests that really come by all the time. And we're glad to have those. But if you can't physically make it out, you can join us. If you go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, and click on the live video stream in the upper left-hand side of the homepage, and tell it how you want to watch, Windows Media, Flash Player, iPhone, you know, smartphone, however. And make that choice at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and you can join us. We'll have a scriptural insight or a review of the news. We'll have a welcome and a good morning. We'll have a communion message and some inspiring music. And we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message for you. There'll be reading of the Scripture. There'll be it'll be edifying to you if you'll join us for church. It will be. And you will be able to get a type of fellowship, Christian fellowship, that you won't get sitting at home by yourself. I guarantee you that. So we ask you to join us Sunday morning for church. Well, men, again, we thank you for joining us. We thank you, the remnant out there, for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email, preacher@sfaw.org.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, they hide.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.